And welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, as part of the team here at The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And Dr. Z is Dr. Eugene Zamperone. And we often are on together or we take turns hosting. And Dr. Zamperone is a professor at Bridgeport University College of Naturopathic Medicine. So he usually joins us. When there's a school break, so he'll be coming back on soon. So I did want to tell you about a lot of up and coming events that we have right here. And we have a free webinar coming up on feeling the consciousness of plants. That's coming right up on May 8th. You can join us for that. To join any of our classes, the best way to go is to go to naturalnurse.com and then click on calendar, because there's shows you all the up and coming events. So the free webinars on the feeling the consciousness of plants. How do you communicate with the plants in your life? People often have challenges communicating with the humans in their life, but boy, oh boy, plants are a whole other consciousness, and there's so much science coming out right now about how they communicate with each other, and the fact that there are receptor sites on everyone's cell that have to do with interspecies communication, and different receptor sites that have to do with intra-species communication. Intra-species would be between you and members of your own race. And intraspecies is when you're having a communication with members of a different race, such as plants. So anyway, we're going to talk about a lot of that and some experiential stuff too. And that is a free webinar coming up. Sign up by just going to naturalnurse.com calendar. Then we have running right now the least expensive way to get 18 CEU credits, which is joining the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course. So that runs once a year at this rate. You can take it anytime you want, but at this rate, which is the least expensive way to get certified in Natural Nurse Herbal Certification, and that gives you a nice certificate in terms of that you took the course, but it can be used towards higher level herbal teaching, such as an RH, which is a registered herbalist. If anybody's interested in working on becoming a registered herbalist, please get in touch and we will put you through that process. It's a really fun course. It lasts about 4 months. And even though you might have missed a couple of the classes, we have it now all archived. So anyone joining, I think we have about 50 people in that class, you can make up all the work. Just as long as you get it into me by June, you still get the course. And if you are a professional, an RN, an NP, which is a nurse practitioner, an RD, which is a registered dietitian, a LMT, licensed massage therapist, or licensed acupuncturist, and you can use this class for 18 CE credits, which is pretty major for those of you who need to take credits, you know, to renew your license. But you don't have to be that. You can be just someone who's interested for yourself and your family. You don't need the CEs. That's fine, too. No limitations. Go to naturalnurse.com calendar. And then we have an ongoing other free workshop, which is on Meetup Mondays, Hildegard Study Group. And that's once a month through the American Herbalist Guild. And then we have an online webinar about Hildegard, the mystic, psychic, and visionary reflections. She was an herbalist in, you know, the first century, or maybe it's called the second century. It's year 1000 something or other. I mean, this is really, really amazing stuff. She lived from 1098 to 1179, and she is an ancient herbalist, a Benedictine nun, and also known as the founder of scientific natural history in Germany. I mean, what an amazing woman for her day. So that also has 3 CE credits for nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, nutritionists, but you can take it for any reason for your own knowledge. And then you can just join in on the free study group, monthly study group, where we're deeply looking into Hildegard's prescriptions for different healing modalities and how to use them, how to use gemstones and herbs and foods. She taught all of it. And now when we look at the science behind those things she taught, we find out that there are evidence, scientific evidence for all the things that she said. So we have other classes such as the Happy Healthy Brain, how to grow more brain cells. I kind of work on that every day. Foods to help sustain cognition, mood, and memory. One of those would be lion's mane. I have some sitting right here. And then we have lots of herb walks coming up in person. So just go to naturalnurse.com calendar if you want to know more. Today, we are so happy to bring on board as our guest, Nadine Artemis. And Nadine is an innovative aromacologist, and we'll let her tell us what that means, and the creator of Living Libations, a luxury line of organic, wildcrafted, non-GMO serums and immune-enhancing formulas and medicinal blends and essential oils. Nadine is also a prolific author. I have 2 of her books with me right here that we'll talk about. One is called Renegade Beauty, Reveal and Revive Your Natural Radiance by Nadine Artemis. And also her book, Holistic Dental Care, which is excellent. So both of these are fascinating books that, you know, you definitely may want to have on your bookshelf. I'm happy that I have it on mine. So Nadine, thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Let's go back in time, Nadine. When you were growing up, what were you thinking of in terms of your life's work? Did that come across in terms of all these natural things that really you focus on now?
Well, not like right. It wasn't like obvious, although I don't know if it is totally all the time for kids. You know what I mean? You kind of think of some things, and what I do was not imaginable completely, right? It wasn't like what I do was like, oh, I'll be a librarian and then you could envision it. So I don't think I quite had that trajectory planned out, but I did love like being in nature and I love cosmetics and I love blending. And so what I think I was able to do is somehow as a kid, I was really able to focus on my strengths. And I knew that was the thing, like to just keep following what I loved and what I was excited about, you know, and that's before we had a billion books on that. But so that's what really just led me to that path, is I just sort of stuck to what kept thrilling me and really taking me on really some self-directed learning adventures. So that was really fascinating. But I was remaking L'Air de Temps in grade 9 for a science fair project, you know, and I was always whipping up cosmetics at home. But it didn't really all come together for me until I was about 18 and I was at university and I was studying at university. And then I also had like my side study projects. And that's where I started understanding a lot about food and reading food labels at the supermarket. And at that time, I really made that commitment because I also had the understanding around how food was produced. And we didn't know that growing up. So as soon as I sort of saw that and realized that most of the foods at the supermarket were kind of controlled by five conglomerates, you know, I'm generalizing here, but so to speak. And so it just didn't take long for me to just like look at the labels of what I thought was green beauty products, and it wasn't at all. And it was like
so
all
that,
the same
wait,
ingredients.
That's a very important thing, Nadine, that you just threw out. Because I would say one of the first products that I remember coming on the market, because I was always involved in herbal medicine since I really learned that originally from my grandmother, who was from Greece,
amazing.
Was you may even be too young. Do you remember when herbal essence came on the market?
Oh, the shampoo?
Yes.
Yes, I do remember those ads.
So that was one of the first ones where you ever heard a word like natural.
Oh, yeah, like heard the word. And I love
you
that.
Read that ingredient, though. It's not natural at all.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Well, when I was a teen, the Body Shop had come out, and I thought that seemed really different than, you know, perusing the makeup counters of like the classic brands like Christian Dior or Clinique or whatever, and it seemed different than the drugstore offerings. But that's when I was like, oh my God, like there's no peach in the fuzzy peach bath oil. There's no cucumber in the cucumber face toner. So that was just so eye-opening. But it was great because I was like making my own food because I realized that processed food, non-organic food, was not so happening. But what a great excuse, because it just brought out all that blending and all that concocting of cosmetics that I did as a teen. And now I had a purpose. I was like, woohoo, how can we make this without that stuff that I don't want to be putting on, in, or around my body? So then I just really studied like every aspect I could, from like 18th century European formulations to antiquity to, you know, all I could find about essential oils. And then it was about finding things, because then I could read about really amazing exotic things in books, but maybe I wasn't finding it at the local health food store. So I wrote letters like really kind of all around the world. I had this little typewriter. And I made a little letterhead. It was very cute. And I called it my business Artemis Essentials. And I wrote all around. And then I was getting in so many different samples of various raw materials and essential oils. And that was so thrilling, because the quality and the nuances and difference was just so vast and varied that then a whole new layer came in, which was really like discerning and playing with them, the different quality of ingredients. And then even just getting common oils in like a lavender or tea tree, but getting them directly from a distiller and knowing it was more of like an artisan distiller or, you know, fifth family generation. And then the quality of just something like a tea tree and lavender was blowing my mind and so different from what was at the health food store.
So then there's an entire other aspect of this. I mean, you've looked into it so deeply and actually created it in a business. Now, is your business Living Libations? Is that the best place for people to find out more about everything we're talking about today?
Yes. So Living Libations is our main website. That's the whole hub of everything. And from there, you can see, you know, more articles, our books are available. And then, of course, all the lovely formulations and creations, which vary from, you know, really this optimal organic oral care to skincare that really has like people glowing, and then more like medicinal blends or different, you know, blends to care for different aspects. And then we've also got like perfumes, sun care, hair care, a whole range of beautiful deodorants that we call Poetic Pits and Underarm Charms. So it's like,
well,
just
wait,
the whole
let's talk
world.
About that, because people yeah. think about deodorant. I mean, one thing that's very important, which you talk about as, and I never heard this word that you use, an aromacologist. I like that word. Did you make that up, or are there a whole group of people known as aromacologists?
I didn't make up the word. It is a word, and it's this, you know, the study and application of scent study. So it could even be applied to somebody that's working with synthetic scents, for example.
Okay, I didn't know that. Thank you. But
it does differentiate, because I'm not a practicing aromatherapist, which is really when you're doing like therapy, like a lymphatic or a massage, right? So there's a differentiation there.
And you're back over studying it, and then you're putting your knowledge to work in putting together healthy skincare, cosmetic, and beauty care products.
Yeah, so, or you could have industrial applications of scent, for example, environmental fragrancing. You know, so there's like a wide range from that.
It's not just fragrance, though, because when we put active kinds of essential oils, they have the capacity to go transdermally, which means not
yes.
just on the skin and, let's say, the muscles under the skin, but they're able to penetrate the layers and get into your bloodstream, but so are those chemicals. So when you're putting on something like deodorant, because there's a lot of holes under your armpits, aren't they? I mean, we all know yes. sex comes out. So therefore,
especially when we're freshly shaven.
Yeah, so everything can go in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's so important that what you're doing, like what would be different about, let's say, a deodorant that you formulated?
Well, if I go back to like I'm about 20 years old now, making different ones, different all kinds of formulations, and they're just so effective. But I still couldn't quite get like a very, very effective deodorant. You know, I was making some spray deodorants at that time. And then I was doing some research on sandalwood as about 22 and just going into the chemical composition. So that's the natural chemical composition that makes up an essential oil. And like, you know, one drop of any essential oil, whether it's like a rose auto, lavender, sandalwood, there's going to be a range of like, you know, over 500 to 1,000 different biochemical components that make up that one drop of oil. And so there's a lot that studies that. And of course, that's where, and that's what we kind of do with all plants. Like we're like, oh, the willow bark tree has the salicylic acid. So let's, you know, isolate that and make that into aspirin or whatever. But when we're looking, we kind of, so well, peppermint may have menthol, and that's one of the very active components of peppermint. When we're using pure authentic essential oils, we get all the 500 to 1,000 components, and that's what we want, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's occurring there. And it's sort of very much like our Western culture to just go, you know, just sort of see a main thing and then hook onto that and then think that's the whole thing. But we don't want to kind of reduce things to those parts. So when we go back to essential oils, and I'm reading about the sandalwood, and it has a phytohormone, so phyto being plant hormone that it exudes, called androsterone. And us humans also exude that, male or female, that is exuded from our armpits. And so I just felt there was a real resonance there. And wow, what do you know? Basically, one drop of sandalwood in each pit works as the best deodorant. And so the Poetic Pit line of deodorants are all made, they're all sandalwood based, which is totally revolutionary. And then we're just like accenting it and making sort of the flavors with varying other aromas. So we have like neroli petal pits, which has like ylang and neroli and some others.
Wait, let's slow down and talk about each of those plants, because I live here in Florida. And I believe are you in Canada?
Yes.
So you don't have lang lang trees growing.
No.
But we do. Oh. And that is a fantastic, it's a tree, kind of not a huge tree, but it's a tree. And when those flowers are out, even because I walk many miles every day, just awesome. As part of exercise. And when those are out, you can smell those lang lang trees as you pass them.
Oh, it's hypnotic.
Such an amazing scent. Yes.
So I smelled ylang essential oil for years before I'd seen the tree. And then, you know, one night I'm in Costa Rica and I can't see the tree, but I can smell it because the scent comes out even more at night, as you know. And then I just like followed the aroma till I found the tree. And that was super fun.
Oh, so you have seen it growing. It's not like a showy tree.
No. And I mean, and the blossoms are really neat, but they're beautiful yellow, but they're not like the showiest of flowers. On
right. They're like a pale yellow. I mean, you definitely would walk by that without noticing it. But what hits you is that unbelievable scent. So you're able to capture it and use it in many of your products.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a beautiful oil. And then we have beautiful ones, you know, we have Maverick Poetic Pits, which is, you know, a little more masculine, or Radiant Earth of Pure Delight, which is accented with like a touch of vanilla supercritical extract, a little bit of vetiver, some Douglas fir and cardamom. So really phenomenal. But the thing about the sandalwood or the Poetic Pits deodorant, like, because again, you couldn't just use one drop of a genuine sandalwood, is it's like keeping your pits fragrant for days, like until you shower. So like if you're not showering every day, you're going to find you don't need to reapply. And what it does is it takes your own aroma, your phytohormone expression, your pheromone expression. I meant to say not phyto, because we're not plants, but your own pheromone expression. And then it just like takes your aroma, adds this terrific scent quality. And then together, you and the poetic pit make this great smell. So it just takes your pheromones and turns them into pleasant aromatic compounds. It's phenomenal. And people find even after like hot yoga or whatever other kind of hot workouts we got going on, that they're literally like followed after class and like, what are you wearing? Oh my God, how do you still smell so good? It's really fun.
And so you obviously really enjoy what you're doing. You sound so excited about, you know, armpits. Wow. But well, really, it's a big thing. We all have them.
It is. And we're, you know, even Walt Whitman was excited. He wrote in one of his poems a line that was like, you know, there's no finer scent. No, like there's no finer prayer than the scent of these armpits, for example. You know, like we do feel passionate about armpits, especially, you know, if it's your lover, that's like, it can be a very beautiful thing. And if we think about the alternative, and of course we just want to be like, as we walk around society, we want to be hopefully fairly pleasantly presentable. But the thing is, well, the alternative right now is that, you know, just the amount of chemicals in regular deodorants. And then that is going into this vulnerable area, and that women are often shaving. And then sure, it's a tiny microdose of aluminum, that deodorant, but we're talking a daily microdose for decades, maybe 40, 50, 60 years. And that builds up. And then, you know, when diseased breast tissue is studied, they found 99% of all diseased breast tissue has parabens in it. And parabens are something that are used in cosmetics, but only ever if you have a formula of a cosmetic, you'd only be using a paraben at a point, kind of 0.01%. So it's tiny amounts in products, but they're showing up in our tissues.
You know, your book, by the way, points this out so beautifully. I love your book. I'm looking at Renegade Beauty. It's right here with me. Reveal and Revive Your Natural Radiance. And by the way, listeners, you can find out more at livinglibations.com. But this book is beautifully done. I love the full color charts. And you do have a wonderful one in here about preservatives such as paraben and the emollients and the emulsifiers and the sulfactants. Like, all these things are in so many beauty products, even when they say natural.
Yes. Well, that, yeah, there's really not too much around the words like 100% pure, 100% natural, therapeutic grade. All of these things really don't mean too much, kind of like ersatz terms. And even certified organic skincare, which obviously is legit and it has to go through a whole process, but they only have to be, it only has to be about, and I'm sorry, I can't remember if it's 70 or 80% organic, but either way, you've got a 20, 30% margin. And for sure, you can put a 0.01% paraben in your certified organic product. And then often, you know, like a lotion, for example, lotions are about 60% water, generally speaking. You know, a cream would have less water. That's what makes it thicker. And so you could get something like, you know, one ingredient being water. So they'll make sort of like, the easiest way to explain it is like a tea or like a hydrosol of a plant. So you could have like rose water, for example. You could have a certified organic rose water, and that could be the water of the product, and that's organic. And then you could have a few more herbs, and maybe you've got organic almond oil in there or something. And then you're certified organic. But that other 20, 30%, I mean, that's like, that's where a lot of trouble can start.
This is true. So in the Living Libations products, you have none of the above? Like, how do you work out, you know, preserving?
Well, yeah, we have none of the above, and we architect our products in a different way. Like Poetic Pits, that's like mainly sandalwood with some other essential oils. So there's no, you know, nobody's ever made a product like that before. Then there's also architecting it with ingredients that don't go rancid. So then you're not playing sort of catch 22 and trying to catch up. But a lot of beauty products are made with cheaper things that go rancid, like grapeseed oil, almond oil, even like a hemp seed oil. It's a beautiful thing, but it's going to go rancid. It's like a good thing to eat and ingest, but it's not something you need sitting in a product going rancid. Or grapeseed oil is always like solvent extracted, or almond oil is always pretty much rancid by the time it's bottled. And often it's not even pure. So yeah, when you're putting things that go rancid in a product, then you have to kind of catch up with that. And you can, so many products, you can kind of smell a rancidity in there anyway with the synthetic preservatives. And then also when working with genuine, authentic essential oils, as you know, if you're working with the real thing and you're architecting that product with the formulation of using those essential oils, not just for an aroma, but to use them and all their power and all of their antimicrobial, antibacterial, antifungal efficiency, bring it out, let it work for the product, let it work for our cells, let it work for our skin. So that's not what a lot of people are doing. A lot of products are made through marketing, through just a concept, which doesn't have ingredients that back it up. And then the ingredients are sort of just made from a different system of labs and synthetics. And bottom line, it's really about what's the smooth, sleek marketing message. And then we'll just put some stuff in a bottle. You know, obviously I'm generalizing here, but nothing's made. Obviously some things are made, but generally speaking, nothing's made to like celebrate the beauty of all the ingredients going in. It's about the bottom line.
Right. Well, that's always part of business. But we have to take a little break right here in terms of our business right here on Progressive Radio Network. And I do want to remind you, listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We have hundreds, literally hundreds of shows archived. And Nadine Artemis, aromacologist and author of Renegade Beauty and Holistic Dental Care, is our guest today. And also, this will be archived. If you're hearing something you like, you want to hear it again, you want to tell your friends, and you can find out more about Nadine at livinglibations.com. And we will take a break, and we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the essential oil taken from the Australian tea tree.
The tea tree, known as Melaleuca alternifolia, grows in only one region of the world, the northeast corner of Australia. It is a full-sized tree of the myrtle family, whose oil has powerful abilities to clean and help heal wounds and skin ailments such as cuts, burns, and rashes. In 1770, the infamous Captain Cook was a lieutenant in the British Royal Navy when his ship landed in Australia. The botanist on board, Sir Joseph Banks, collected samples of a sticky aromatic leaf and brought them back to England for further investigation.
In 1923, an Australian curator and chemist, Dr. Penfold, conducted a study on tea tree leaves and discovered that their essential oils are 13 times stronger as an antiseptic bactericide than carbolic acid, considered the standard in the early 1900s. The oil contains 50 to 60% terpenes, 6 to 8% cineol, which causes its camphor-like odor, and several kinds of alcohols. In 1933, the Australian Journal of Pharmacy, the American Journal of the National Medical Association, and the British Medical Journal reported that tea tree oil is a powerful disinfectant, non-poisonous, non-irritating, and has been used successfully in a very wide range of septic conditions. Australian tea tree oil is mentioned in the British Pharmaceutical Codex of 1949, the UK Medicine List, and the Dispensary of the United States.
During World War II, tea tree oil was considered a standard issue item for all first aid kits for Army and Navy units in tropical regions. The demand for tea tree oil exceeded the supply. However, after World War II, synthetic drugs gained in popularity, and the use of tea tree oil in medicine waned. In more recent times, a renewed interest in natural, non-toxic alternatives has triggered a resurgence in tea tree oil research. In 1985, Dr. Paul Belacher, chief of the phytotherapy department at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Paris, worked on several double-blind studies involving tea tree oil and its application as a remedy for candidiasis, chronic cystitis, staph and strep infections, and nail bed fungus. He stated, and we quote, "The essential oil of Melaleuca has entered the team of major essential oils and emerges as an antiseptic and antifungal weapon of the first order in phytoaromatherapy."
Try a few drops of tea tree oil in a steam vaporizer and inhale for blocked sinuses, or rub the oil on chest and back for a cough. The Australian Journal of Dentistry reported that using tea tree oil in dental hygiene and in surgery showed it to be an extremely effective antiseptic. Add a drop on your toothbrush or include it as a gargle and mouthwash. Tea tree oil can be applied directly to the skin. Although it's possible that some people may experience a mild allergic reaction, in-depth research has shown tea tree oil to be non-irritating and safe.
So, listeners, think about including tea tree oil, the first aid kit in a bottle, in your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back, once again, right here to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on Progressive Radio Network. We're so happy that you're joining us. Please visit our website at naturalnurse.com. Click on calendar to see all the up-and-coming classes and workshops that you can join in with us. And two of the big things that I'm busy with these days. One is teaching people how to become a registered herbalist, if that's something they want to do, or how to use herbs for themselves and their family. You don't have to be working on that. But also, I'm very involved with people starting out making herbal products, like our guest today, Nadine Arteman. And I have a whole company called Natural Nurse Regulatory, where I really help people understand what the compliance issues are, which are huge. All the GMPs and all the regulations by the FDA, I'm not sure what they are in Canada, in order to be within your legal means. Also, labeling is very, very important. So if any of you are inspired to just start making some products as something that you do as a hobby, but then it's sort of moving into sales, please consult first, know before you go. And I do have a webinar available called Herbal Manufacturing Legal Consideration that several thousand people have now taken, that's in general, and then they also wanted to talk to me directly, so we look at their particular business model. Very important if you don't want to play games with the FDA and the FTC. So we'll bring back on board our guest today, Nadine Arteman, aromacologist and brilliant author. I love your books, Nadine. They're wonderful. Renegade Beauty, Reveal and Revive Your Natural Radiance, and Holistic Dental Care, The Complete Guide to Healthy Teeth and Gums. So thank you so much for joining us today. Is Nadine there?
Oh, so sorry.
There you
I
are.
Had it on,
okay.
I had it on mute. And on I was mute.
Talking
well, away.
You know, it's so cool because that's such a cool line right now, isn't it? Like everybody's been
totally.
On mute. Like the president of Canada has been on mute. I mean, everybody, you know, the Queen of England. So it's fine if you are on mute. It's very in these days. But
that's
nonetheless,
hilarious. You know what I was saying? I was just saying I loved your tea tree commercial. So
well,
awesome.
Sell it. So it's not a commercial. It's just you know, information. But I left out something in that, which is important. And I'm sure you know that actually tea tree oil is very, very toxic to cats.
Yes. Of animals, we do need to be a little more cautious with essential oils in cats, whereas, you know, dogs and horses are quite readily acceptable with
the essential oils. Let's say xylitol, which is not an essential oil, but it's a natural sweetener that's in a lot of products. Dogs die and get liver cirrhosis from it.
Well, so, yeah, I think because there are issues with xylitol that, you know, it's not good for digestion. It's not the alternative sweetener we think it is.
All these things are so important. Now, why do you have a whole entire book on holistic dental care?
Well, that was my first book, and I actually originally self-published it because I was like, I just need to get this information out to people, you know, we'll see what happens. But it was funny, and people had said, oh, don't self-publish, you won't get published. And I was like, it doesn't matter. But interestingly, just to anybody thinking about self-publishing, it's the self-publishing that attracted the publisher. So go for it.
I have to say that I have seen that in many of my authors. That first they self-publish, and they actually even send that nice little self-published book to publishers, and they do get picked up.
Yes, and then they can see the track record and that, oh, this is a successful topic, because I think they got to see that there was traction, you know, and now what's great is that it was a good evolution for the book, because now it's in like 5 languages, which is something I would have done.
Beautiful. And you're not a dentist, but you do have Dr. Victor Zanis, who is a dentist, along with you there doing the forward and reviewing, I'm sure, that, you know, scientific validity of all the work.
Yes. So I ground, and really I'm bringing together all the research of different dentists and different scholars in that area.
So, I know that you sent me a little sample. I guess it's sort of a tooth. It's not in a tube, but it's a tooth applicant, you know, like a toothpaste, which is just fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I first developed back in my 20s, due to the fact that I was having a tooth issue, and I had a really neat hygienist that was like, well, like a cavity starting to form. She's like, well, just go home and work with all those oils that you do. And I was like, okay. Like, I never even knew that you were like allowed a second chance to like kind of help a tooth. Like, I've never heard of that concept before. And she goes, yeah, just, and then do it and then come back in 6 months and we'll check it out. So I did. And I also researched other stuff that time. And I really found there was a gap in any book on oral care. I was like, okay, so there's the dentist, but what do we do like every day at home? You know, because this whole stuff, and I didn't want to touch any of the drugstore stuff, because again, I'd, you know, already replaced by formulating all of my own body care. So it was like, oh, cool. Now we can take this concept to the mouth. And then I formulated what is now known as Happy Gum Drops.
And oh, I didn't see that. What a nice name.
And funny, because I just thinking of the story because of the other work that you do, which is how you help consult with FDA and that kind of stuff. In Canada, it's called Health Canada. So for like a decade, it was called Healthy Gum Drops. But of course, you can't have the word healthy to define a skincare action. So it's
you've been around that carousel.
Oh, yeah.
Not fun. Isn't it better, like my saying about consulting with a regulatory specialist in natural health care is know before you go.
Oh, it would just save so much time and work and energy. So
and
it's
money.
Like a great
and idea. Money.
Yeah,
what
if yeah.
All your labels saying healthy and you can't say that. Who would know?
But I was so happy that Happy came to us. And it was seamlessly transferred to Happy Gum Drops, and it's been that way for now almost a whole other decade. So those are our dental serums, which again, that was like the first product of its kind of that I knew of on the planet. And it was just nothing had ever been made before to kind
now
of focus.
What's in that? Like, what would you use? Are they different flavors?
Yes, we've got 3 dental serums now. We've got the Happy Gum Drops, the Yogi 2 serum, and the Mint and Myrrh. Mint and Myrrh is for very, you know, more sensitive and people that might have a sensitivity to like something like a cinnamon or a clove. And again, we're working with all the beautiful ancient herbs and essential oils that, you know, have been used for thousands of years. And the fun thing is now in this day and age, we now have researchers and scientists that are able to, that are researching all these beautiful extracts and plants, especially in relationship to the microbiome. And now we're understanding that these plants have been used in oral care for thousands of years because they're effective at like cleaning up pathogens, working with the good bacteria, helping to revive gum tissue. And so now it's like we've got the modern science helping back up the ancient knowledge of why we were gravitating towards those plants. So I find it's a really cool time. Happy Gumdrops has rose otto, tea tree, and definitely a lot from that Australian Dental Journal, lots of good studies on just tea tree, under 2% in formulas on just that one ingredient alone, what it does for gums and the prevention of cavity and helping saliva. And then the Yogi 2 serum is like super bitter, but people love it because it's based around neem, which is one of the most bitter herbs. And then it's also got cinnamon and cardamom and like all those lovely Ayurvedic herbs. So those were the first. We made the dental serums first. Then we then there's the ozonating of oils, which is what Tesla invented. And so then we took our happy gumdrops and then just passed it through ozone. So we have an ozonated gum gel that's phenomenal. And then
wait, I want to slow you down there because you and I know what you're talking about. But let's remember we have an audience here who that might be a completely new term to. And what I find is with ozonated products, they actually hold the ozone. So you can smell and taste it even, you know, months later. But let's talk about what is ozone and how do you get it into, you know, a tooth product.
So Tesla, as the inventor Tesla, not the car, but that car is, of course, named after him. He had turn of the century he's existing. He, at that time, had over 300 patents and early patents even for what's the beginning of Wi-Fi. So very phenomenal inventor. Unfortunately, you know, his lab had caught fire, and so we lost a lot of his knowledge. But anyway, So around the turn of the century, he realized that, to hold ozone and then to give it therapeutic application, he put the oxygen through olive oil. At that time, it was used with olive oil. And even doctors and naturopaths at that time were using this ozonated olive oil. And so now, you can really pass the oxygen through many types of oil. Like we have a product that's coming out. We're going to be making a mascara with an ozonated castor oil. We have made the world's first lip gloss with ozonated because ozone thickens the oil. And so now we're able to have other applications, you know, that classically you wouldn't be. So we have this beautiful red lip gloss we made from a red root. And
What root is that?
It's called a stone root.
Oh, yeah. So it's like a blood root kind of thing?
Yeah, and it's kind of like looks kind of like an alkanet root, which is another beautiful plant that gives red.
That sounds really, you know, very, very innovative. So we're going to take another little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, because I love people to know what's going on here at Progressive Radio Network. It is your source for progressive information, health information, and other fantastic shows that they have. So we're going to just take a little break. And when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion with Nadine Artemis, aromatherapist, author, and, very scientifically oriented production of truly natural healthcare and more, let's say, self-care products. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And welcome back once more to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, inviting you to join us on many of our journeys. And we're back out in the field where we take you outside to learn to recognize and gather wild plants growing in your yard that you can use for food and medicine, and in the woods and beaches areas and all kinds of outside places near you. And we actually are going to do some of those in person this year. Yay! You can bring your masks or stay 8 feet away, whatever you want. But we're starting to do that. And then, of course, because of our recent challenges, we have developed this huge online compendium of classes, which we find so successful. Some of them, 1,000 people have actually attended. We had over 100 at the Hildegard meetup the other week, because 100 was the maximum allowed. So please join us. Feel free to join us. Many of them are free. Go to naturalnurse.com calendar and start learning more about natural medicine that you can use for yourself and your family. Today, our guest is Nadine Artemis. She is an aromacologist and has been sharing tons of really excellent information. I highly recommend her books. They're beautiful. Renegade Beauty, Reveal and Revive Your Natural Radiance, and Holistic Dental Care, also by Nadine. And both of your books are very easy to read, Nadine, and beautifully illustrated. And you really teach us why natural is better.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel like we got to go in deep because we're trying to undo some paradigms here. So it's always good to cite science, scientific studies where we can, and really bridge the sort of historical and intuitive knowledge with the science.
Now, what about whitening? Because that's a big thing. I mean, on TV all day long, you know, everybody needs to have like white teeth, and they mostly use, I guess, something like bleach.
Yeah, of course. So whitening is on our minds, yet where most of the systems out there would weaken the enamel. And then you're in a bit of a catch-22 because you want strong enamel for the decades to come, and it's weak enamel that can kind of also discolor. What we also don't know, we're always caught on the external applications and solutions, but whiteness actually comes from within the tooth. And enamel is actually like kind of like transparent, like a window. And it's the health of the internal part of the tooth that's reflected. It's the health of the pulp chamber. And so to have a healthy pulp chamber, a healthy internal part of the tooth, we need to have a diet rich in vitamin D3 and K2, which are fat-soluble vitamins. And, D3 comes from the sun, so we also want to get some good. I have chapters and articles on how to interact with the sun wisely so we can get vitamin D going. But that's very key, as well as, you know, basic minerals like calcium, magnesium, and all of that. Now, that's really going to take care of the whiteness on a deep level. What can also happen is that people just have a bit of a buildup of calculus tartar or plaque on their teeth.
And what about caffeine, you know, coffee?
Yeah, and then that's what's getting discolored is like that layer of fine calculus. Or your blueberry smoothies or your chlorophyll, red wine, all that kind of stuff, or your chaga teeth. And that's where it's showing up. So you do want to make sure you've had a good cleaning with hopefully a holistic hygienist. They can even use things like salt, and they can sort of salt blast the teeth, which is like, I don't know if you know in architecture, they use sandblasting to clean out the bricks and stuff. So it's a very actual gentle way of, and you would be amazed at the whitening. So your holistic dentist may have some tricks that are not involving any bleaching. And then at home, we can also use something like hydrogen peroxide, 3% solution. But don't use that too much. Maybe, 1 to 3 times a month, depending on your gum health and sensitivity, because it's a little bit astringent and it can kind of pull back those gums. But that's a good whitening agent. And then a really fun thing you can do is just take a tablespoon of baking soda and pour on some of that 3% diluted hydrogen peroxide. I don't have an accurate thing, but like sort of a tablespoon to a teaspoon. Mix it in and let that dry overnight in a little jar. So it kind of evaporates. And then you kind of have this like hydrogen peroxide infused baking soda. And then that's what you can use on your teeth once or twice a month to get that little bit extra white.
But you're talking about actually brushing with salt?
Yeah, you can brush with salt, but actually if you're going to the holistic dentist, they'll kind of make the salt come out of this sprayer. It doesn't hurt at all. It's just like, kind of like, you know, when they do the water rinsing,
sandblast.
It's like that. Yeah, and it's like salt blasting, and holy, it's amazing. And so your teeth will be so clean. So there's so many things we can do. And, you know, I have these 8 steps that people, you can email us, and it's on our website. And that's a really great thing to do before you go to the dentist, especially right now. It kind of can be your way to quarantine care for the teeth, because I know a lot of people can't get to just do some basic dentist appointments right now. But if you do the 8 steps for, you know, I mean, do them just once and you'll see the difference. But if you can really get that going for about 3 months, you know, maybe even 6 months, and then you go to the dentist, you'll have such a better appointment. So many things will be kind of taken care of, you know, gums will be healthier, and then you can really prep in a healthy way for your dental appointments so that it's a better appointment. It's more successful and probably less expensive.
So you have sort of a really easy to follow home care system in your book, Dental Care.
Yeah, super easy to follow, and that the it's over a decade old, the steps. So we've had a lot of success throughout the years, and they're really tried and true.
So I'm just going to quickly review them because we're getting to the end today, but people can find out more at livinglibations.com. Easy 8 steps, salt water solution, drop of essential oil, scrape the tongue. Just let's cover that before we go. Not everyone has heard of that. What is that?
Yeah, tongue scraping is simple, really easy to do. And, you know, we have proper tongue scrapers, which is sort of like a curved piece of metal, but you can just even use a spoon at home, upside down, and just scrape the tongue. You go to the back, as far back as you can. Obviously, you don't want to gag, but just that. And then, because on the tongue, if you just look, if it, you can open your tongue right now and look in the mirror, a lot of people have like a buildup of plaque and different stuff at the back. And you can even look that up. You can look up different, you know, look at your tongue and look it up online at traditional Chinese medicine tongue reading. And you can kind of get some information about how you may be digesting, if there's, you know, candida in there. So again, you just scrape it off, and it really helps with halitosis and stuff. And eventually you'll have less to scrape. So the first few months, you may have to be doing it like 2 or 3 times, but eventually it might just be once a day.
And you know, that's not something that's necessarily taught. You know,
no,
even when you're teaching your little children to brush their teeth, we don't usually have that step in there.
Yeah, it's such a, you know, and that's like thousands of years tradition in Ayurvedic medicine. And
easy. We're talking easy and inexpensive. No real investment in terms of money. Or
just need a spoon. Like literally no investment. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of increasing your knowledge. And that's a lot of what you give in this wonderful book, Holistic Dental Care, and in your beautiful big book, that's a big one, Renegade Beauty, Reveal and Revive Our Natural Radiance. So before we end for today, Nadine, what are some of your, you know, take-home messages you'd like to share with our listeners and the best way for them to find you?
I feel like, you know, if there's anything going on with your body that you're feeling imbalanced or uncomfortable with, like especially on a skincare level or an oral care level, just like know that sometimes there's really simple answers that can turn it around, and really welcome anybody to email us, reach out to us. We also have free consultation sessions that we do for, you know, oral care, healthcare. And if there's a bigger thing, whatever, often we have resources to send you on your way. So feel free to email us, and our website is livinglibations.com. And you can also find me at Nadine Artemis Official on Instagram and Living Libations Official on Instagram.
Well, thank you so much. That was just a show packed full of really, really easy information where people can take it to their own life. Because what I always remind myself and everyone is your health is in your hands. So with information, you can make better choices instead of just picking up a product that says natural when that word does not really have a meaning. They can put natural on anything. And then it's full of things that aren't natural. Read your labels. And that's what Nadine talks about in her book, so that you know what these ingredients are. And if you want to choose to have them on your body, on your skin, under your arms, in your mouth, do you want them? I don't. And Nadine makes it really simple to understand in Holistic Dental Care, and Renegade Beauty. So I would like to thank you so much for listening once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can always find us at naturalnurse.com and also Facebook, The Natural Nurse, where we get lots of comments and sharing from our listening audience. Thank you so much for that. We do this for you. So until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.